Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org under Public Affairs. Today is August 26, 2020. The markets were up today with the Dow closing at 28,331. Last week was 27,692. The NASDAQ was 11,665. Last week was 11,146. And the S&P at 3,478. And last week was 3,374. So moving up for sure. Tonight, our topic is state and local tax considerations, which includes income tax, inheritance tax, earned income tax, business tax, etc. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening, and we'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay, and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I'll do my best to answer them. And the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. 8810, and you can talk live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live, you can give your questions to Lori. She'll write them down and bring them into the studio. And if your question is beyond the radio show, you can send questions to yourfinancialchoices.com. So you can send email, I guess, through yourfinancialchoices.com with your question. So again, tonight I thought I would discuss state and local income taxes because we read and hear about federal issues more than we do, you know, state income tax issues. And I thought tonight I would highlight some state and local issues to be aware of. And I also thought I would look kind of high level state income tax and local income tax, talk a little bit about inheritance tax issues, business taxes if I have time. And while I'll predominantly cover PA and New Jersey, I just thought I would start off with some high-level considerations. And again, I'm always looking for topics. So if any listeners out there have a topic that you think I haven't covered in a while or haven't covered, please send that idea through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. I love new ideas and I love learning. So if there are things that, you know, you haven't heard and think it would be appropriate for this show, I would be happy to, vet that for you. And I was realizing when it's been a while since I've had guests. We had Carrie Ward a couple weeks ago to talk about, the real estate market. But in this time of COVID, I'm being very careful about, having guests in the studio, even though we've taken such tremendous and wonderful precautions here in the studio. We have plexiglass up and we're always wiping down and we're using our mask when we're coming in and out. I have been a little careful, so I haven't had quite the depth of, topics that I ordinarily would. So again, it really helps if I hear from my listeners what kind of topics you'd like to hear about. But I thought I haven't really specifically talked about some state and local tax issues, which can be as important as paying attention to some of the federal tax issues. When we talk about tax planning, quite often we're talking about planning on the tax return. I had done a show on using the tax return for financial planning. That might have just been last week. I don't even remember now. They kind of all go together. But when we're talking about the federal return, we're looking at deductions for the 401k or IRA contributions. Should you do Roth contributions instead? What kind of income do we have on our return? What kind of capital losses or itemized deduction. So I thought let's kind of dive in a little bit to the state and local issues that we might want to pay attention to and understand, especially as people move from one state to another, and the tax ramifications can be very different, and the tax, the tax returns can look very different. So according to taxfoundation.org, 29 states and the District of Columbia start with the federal adjusted gross income. So even when I came from Michigan, I thought it was very odd how Pennsylvania did their taxes. And I actually wrote them a letter and never got a response back, but I really loved my letter to them. But 29 states, District of Columbia, start with the federal adjusted gross income. 6 states start with federal taxable income. And some of these states conform with federal law and some do not. And it can sometimes it's the exemptions that might be different. The standard deduction might be different. How we take depreciation could be different. So even when we start with either the federal adjusted gross income or the federal taxable income, there could be still differences. And then the remaining 6 states that tax income have some other method. 9 states have no traditional income tax at all. Arkansas, Washington, Nevada, Texas, Wyoming, South Dakota, Tennessee, and New Hampshire. Now, Tennessee and New Hampshire do have some tax on their dividends and interest, and I know that Tennessee is even phasing that out, and Florida doesn't have income tax. So those are the several states. And when people talk about, oh, I want to move to a state where I don't have income tax, and someone might say, I'm going to move to Tennessee or I might move to Florida and not have income tax, you might not have the whole picture, though, because there still could be other taxes that are going to impact your cash flow and your expenses. So while they might not have an income tax, they might have higher sales tax. They might have higher gas tax or alcohol or cigarette tax, whatever it might be. So there could be other real estate taxes could be higher as well. I know, for example, I think Tennessee has a higher sales tax. Florida, I think, has maybe a higher sales tax, but it depends on where you live in Florida. Sometimes there's local tax on top of that as well. So for the most part, the majority of states that do have an income tax do follow the federal adjusted gross income or the federal taxable income. And I mentioned there are 6 states that have their own method, and it happens to be New Jersey and Pennsylvania are 2 of those 6, which I'll kind of focus on tonight since that's in our geographical area here, airing out of Pennsylvania. So for planning, then, it really would be important to know how what you do for federal could impact the state planning and vice versa, especially when you're planning to work across state lines or move across state lines. You kind of want to have an idea of what you're going to be in for. So ways that the federal differs from Pennsylvania and New Jersey, let me pull back from that. It's not as much as they differ from federal. They differ from the majority of states that follow the federal numbers, the AGI and the taxable income. Both Pennsylvania and New Jersey start with separately stated income on the returns. So they don't start with the federal AGI, adjusted gross income. They don't start with the federal taxable income. They start with what I'm going to call the classes of income. So with wages, interest, dividends, business income, capital gains, flow-through income. So they have those separately stated on the income tax return, actually line by line. New Jersey is a little different than Pennsylvania in that they start the return with your filing status and exemptions. And when we come back from this first break, we'll talk about some of those exemptions that they have, because they have quite a few, whereas Pennsylvania doesn't give us any exemptions. They're just looking at the income, and they really don't give us too many deductions either. But some of the income is taxed very differently in Pennsylvania than New Jersey, even though we're, right next door to each other, some very different ways to tax the income. So when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion on talking about state and local tax considerations, particularly to Pennsylvania and New Jersey. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with me or off air. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you just give your question to Lori C. She's very nice, and she'll take your question down, and then she'll bring that into the studio, and I'll do my best to answer the question. Tonight, we are talking about state and local tax considerations, and in particular, we're going to pay attention kind of to Pennsylvania and New Jersey tonight, because that is our kind of broadcast area here at WDIY. And we were just talking about how Pennsylvania and New Jersey are two of nine states that don't start with federal adjusted gross income or federal taxable income. They have separately stated income, and it's reported in the various classes. And when I say classes, I mean like wages, interest, dividends, business income, capital gains, and flow-through income. Flow-through income from entities such as partnerships, S-corps, and estates or trust, okay? So New Jersey starts their return with exemptions, though. So I thought or the filing status and exemptions, and I thought that I would just point this out because there are a lot of exemptions in New Jersey, and if you are filling out the return yourself, you may not pay attention to all of them. And I'm not sure this would get caught if you were electronically filing or not. Sometimes the software will give people kind of little hints or reminders or ask you questions as you go through the system that hopefully would fill it in properly if you're doing software. Sometimes people are still filing paper filed returns and completing them themselves. And while an exemption may not have applied to you in the past, it might apply to you now. And you're so used to just kind of doing the return whatever way you have done it that you miss out on these. So there is a regular exemption for yourself and your spouse or domestic partner. There is an exemption, and that's a $1,000 exemption. There's a $1,000 exemption if you're a senior, 65 years and older. If you're blind or disabled, there's a $1,000 exemption. This is a kind of a newer exemption, the veteran exemption. I think it's only been the past maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years. But beginning with tax year 2019, the veteran exemption increased to $6,000. And you have to provide, you have to be honorably discharged or released under honorable circumstances from active duty anytime before the last day of the tax year, and you need to provide official documentation showing that you were honorably discharged or released under those honorable circumstances. And then they have a list of acceptable documentation, but that is a fairly big exemption. And if you're not paying attention, you may not have realized that, or your tax preparer may not have asked you the question if you were a veteran. So if you had already filed your tax return for 2019 and you realize, gosh, I don't remember if I had that. Yes, I was a veteran. And you pull out your tax return and you see that it wasn't on there, you can amend the tax return. So the veteran exemption was a pretty big exemption for 2019. Now, granted, we should kind of make sure we finish our conversation tonight, though, on the radio, because there are so many exemptions that you may not have taxable New Jersey income. So don't get so excited about whether this veteran exemption might help or apply if you might have other exemptions that maybe completely wipe out your income. So we'll talk about that as we go through the show here. So there's also an exemption for a qualified dependent child or other dependent, and that's a $1,500 exemption. And there's also a dependents attending college. You can claim an additional $1,000 exemption for each dependent student if, you know, a certain set of requirements are met. And you can't claim it for yourself or your spouse or your domestic partner. But, you know, the criteria is, you know, basically your student must be claimed as a dependent. They must be under age 22 on the last day of the tax year. They must attend full time. Full time is determined by the school. They must spend at least some part of each 5 calendar months of the tax year at school. So that's interesting. And I wonder how that would be impacted with COVID if students are having to stay home and go to school virtually. What is that going to mean for 2020? If our students, our New Jersey residents, if our New Jersey residents who have students who are attending college and would have otherwise qualified for this $1,000 exemption, other than it says student must spend at least some part of each of the 5 calendar months of the tax year at school. Interesting. So hopefully there would be some more clarity on that as we go along. There are some other requirements, so I don't want to get into all the requirements because I didn't want to talk about necessarily specifics of tax returns as much as understanding the difference in tax, state and local tax considerations, whether it was income tax, inheritance tax, business tax, earned income tax, that type of thing, and just to be aware of some of these items. So the exemptions is a big thing for New Jersey. So in talking about the income, the separately stated income, I mentioned there are wages, interest, dividends, business income, gains, flow through income. Another differentiating factor between Pennsylvania and New Jersey are how we report pensions, annuities, and IRAs. So New Jersey lists pensions, annuities, and IRA withdrawals as taxable. But New Jersey allows an exclusion for pensions, annuities, and IRA withdrawals. So you'd have to read the instructions to see what qualifies. And I'll talk about more of that in a little bit more detail as we go along here. But just know that they're reportable, but may qualify for an exemption. All right, that's pensions, annuities, and IRA withdrawals. Pennsylvania has a schedule for this income, but qualified distributions from pensions and IRAs are not taxable to Pennsylvania. Now, you heard me say qualified distributions, meaning your normal retirement age, or there's an exception to that. That's when it's not reportable for Pennsylvania purposes. But typically, when we're reporting it for federal purposes from the 1099-R form, and we're using software, that quite often will flow through to Pennsylvania on a scheduled W-2 reconciliation page, and it will reconcile, you know, what was taxable for federal and what is taxable for Pennsylvania. And for the most part, pensions and IRAs are not taxable for Pennsylvania purposes. There's exceptions to early withdrawals, and if I have time, I'll talk about that, but The other one that you have to be really careful with is annuities for Pennsylvania, because if you have invested in an annuity, it's a non-qualified investment, meaning outside of an IRA, you just made a separate investment in it. The gain that you had for federal is going to be taxable for Pennsylvania, but the amount that gets reported, that gain, isn't reported as, you know, retirement income. It's not reported as a gain. It's reported as interest income. So, and I think that is because it's considered ordinary income for federal purposes. And so we have to remember as preparers, when we have a gain on a non-qualified annuity for Pennsylvania purposes, that we have to make sure that we report that income as interest income. And there's a special line for it on the schedule. And the other thing is, if you're using software, sometimes that amount doesn't flow through to Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania and the federal talk with, you know, the income that's gets reported. So if you didn't report it by accident because you didn't know, you might have had to override it and force it onto the Pennsylvania return because it might not flow through from federal. You might get a notice that you owe some money on that gain. And that gain on some of those annuities can be quite hefty. So you want to be prepared for that. All right. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the pensions and retirement accounts. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on 88.1. Podcasts of prior shows are also available at WDIY.org under Public Affairs. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can give your question to Lori C. and she will write it down if you're not comfortable talking live on air, and she'll bring it in and we can, I'll do my best to answer it. And if you're okay talking live on air, we'll put you through right to the airwaves. So again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Tonight we're talking about state and local tax considerations. I've started with income tax, and we're talking about a little bit of the differences for Pennsylvania and New Jersey from federal, and some of the related exemptions that New Jersey gives that Pennsylvania does not give, and then how New Jersey has you report the retirement income related to pensions, annuities, and IRA withdrawals. Pennsylvania, it can also get reported on the W-2 reconciliation, but for the most part, pensions and IRA withdrawals are not taxable, while non-qualified annuities, the gain on the contract would be income taxable, but you report it on the interest schedule, so it can be a little confusing. I also want to mention that alimony Pennsylvania does not tax alimony, but New Jersey includes alimony as taxable income. We're probably going to see less and less of that as the laws on alimony have changed for federal purposes. And this, again, goes back to kind of where do we start with federal versus state. So if for federal purposes, if you get a divorce today, you have alimony as part of your agreement, the person paying the alimony back in the day would get a deduction, and the person reporting the alimony, receiving it as income, would report it as income. And that's not the case anymore for divorces entered into or finalized after 1-1-2020. So if you had an agreement prior to that, then it was, still deductible and reported as income, but no longer. But for New Jersey purposes, alimony is taxable. So you have to understand some of these differences. And for states that, follow the federal, you'd have to understand if their rules have changed as well. Are they conforming with the Fed? Not all states conform with the Fed rules just because they start with the federal income. So that's something to be aware of. I think New Jersey has a very confusing approach to the retirement accounts. I think it could be hard for people to keep track of, and it's hard for me as a CPA even to read these rules. If you know that all of the retirement money is income taxable, then it's easy. If you think you kind of cross some kind of threshold of time and types of plans, it could be more confusing, or it could be confusing because, for example, in the instructions for the New Jersey 1040, they say retirement plans. Under New Jersey law, contributions to retirement plans other than 401k plans are included in state wages on W-2 in the year the wages are earned. And this may cause your state wages to be higher than your federal wages. So if it's included in your wages, then at some point when you take that money out, you'll be considered to have basis in it, and it won't be taxable. So you're going to have to keep track of that. Now, if it said, though, under New Jersey law, contributions to retirement plans other than 401k plans are included in state wages, which means if you have contributions to a 401k, they are not included as taxable, which means when you take that money out of the 401k, that would be all reportable. Okay, it could be very confusing. And then New Jersey goes on to have, I would say, several pages or a couple pages about how we figure out the taxation on these pensions, annuities, and IRA withdrawals. And they talk about contributory retirement plans and non-contributory. So if non-contributory, you made no contributions to your plan, the amounts you receive from these plans are fully taxable. Well, that seems easy. You made no contributions to your plan. If you made contributions to your plan, and this says other than IRAs, it's like one of those tests where you have the double negatives and you have to try to figure out what it really means. If you made contributions to your plan, contributions are usually made through payroll deductions and in general are taxed when they're made. Contributions made to a retirement plan, again, other than a 401k plan, prior to moving to New Jersey are considered to have been previously taxed. These plans also may include employer contributions and earnings, which have not been taxed. So if you have moved from somewhere else to New Jersey, I would say you might have to pay a little bit of attention to this. Contributions made to a retirement plan other than a 401k prior to moving to New Jersey are considered to have been previously taxed. So meaning if you've only made contributions to a 401k in the past, then they're not going to consider those to have been previously taxed and you'll follow the normal rules. It would be income taxed. So I guess the bottom line to kind of move away from making this so confusing is to tell you that if you are a New Jersey resident, if at some point you paid tax on contributions you made to a plan, because there were also contributions to 401ks made prior to January 1st, 1984 that were not taxed when they were made. And it says if all your contributions were made on or after that date, your distributions are fully taxable, which means before January 1, 1984, would someone still be working at this point? That would be 40 years. Technically, someone could be. So contributions made before that date would have been taxed. So you have what we call basis in the retirement account. And they're not going to tax you on that again. But I am sure, for darn sure, that if you try to say that some of your retirement plan distributions are not income taxable, they're going to want you to prove what your basis was, which is why I bet a lot of New Jersey residents probably just tax, you know, those retirement distributions as fully taxable. Now, I will add, though, before we get all upset about this and too worried about it, just as I mentioned earlier about, you know, what if you miss your $6,000 veteran exemption, New Jersey gives us some really sizable retirement and pension exclusions. And that has phased in over, I think, a few years. And it is, in 2020, I believe, going to be $100,000. That's a pretty big exclusion. And there are rules and, you know, some criteria that you have to follow, and I'll see if I can kind of highlight some of those again so that the listeners aren't so worried about what their basis is in their pension plan or their IRA, because maybe you'll qualify for the exclusion and it won't matter anyway. So that's what I want to look at when we come back from this next break. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Lori C., and she'll write it down and she'll bring it in to me. And tonight we're talking about state and local tax considerations. And as we move through the show, I'm also going to talk about Pennsylvania inheritance and New Jersey inheritance taxes as well. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000. WDIY thanks its members.
Good afternoon. WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm Sean DeGray. It is 6:30 and 78 with clear skies. Tonight we're going to have a chance of showers, low 64. Thursday, severe thunderstorms, high 92. Thursday night, more thunderstorms, patchy fog, low 71. And Friday, a chance of more storms, high 90. Friday night, low around 71. And Saturday, showers likely, high 85, and Saturday night, low 63. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Seabird.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Lori C. and she'll write it down and bring it in to me. So let me wrap up my conversation about retirement income reported on the New Jersey return and talk about the exclusion, which is quite large. And so they, in the instructions, say you can exclude all or part of the pension income reported if you meet the following qualifications: you and or your spouse at filing joint were age 62 or older, or blind, disabled as defined by Social Security guidelines on the last day of the tax year, and your income on line 27 is $100,000 or less. Now, part year residents have, you know, I think some additional hoops to go through, but for a full year resident, $100,000 exclusion. Now, if one of the spouses, if you're filing a joint return and one spouse or partner was not age 62, then there is a further limit, like to the pension exclusion to the person who is 62. But beyond that, your income for the entire year for the part year one. So this exclusion could be up to, in 2020, up to $100,000. In 2019, it was $80,000. And for single filers, head of household, qualifying widower, it was $60,000. And for married filing separate, it was $40,000. So that's why those filing statuses that New Jersey starts on their tax return, that's why those filing statuses are important, because of these exclusions that they have. So I think that's quite a generous exclusion for the retirees in New Jersey. So age 62 and below those amounts, it's really something. And then there's even a further calculation. If you don't use up that full exclusion to the extent of your pension, I think there's another chance that you might be able to get a little bit more exclusion, but I haven't gone through that calculation myself. Some other items to point out for New Jersey and Pennsylvania that I think is interesting is Pennsylvania and New Jersey, they don't allow one class of income with a loss to offset another class of income with a loss. So, for example, if you have a loss on a business or a capital loss, you just enter zero. You don't enter the loss amount, which we're used to seeing on the federal return. If you have an allowable loss for federal purposes, there are limits for capital losses, but for business losses, you generally get to take those losses against another class of income. Capital gains or losses are capped at $3,000 on page one, and then the balance carries forward. We don't get that with Pennsylvania and New Jersey. You report zero. So that is something you have to be aware of in the differences between federal and state, because in your mind, you might think you have this great loss you can take to offset the income. Well, you're not going to see that on the Pennsylvania and New Jersey returns. Let me mention a couple other things that I think are particularly relevant these days, and that is unemployment. Unemployment is not taxable for Pennsylvania or New Jersey. So remember some of those states that piggyback off the federal adjusted gross income or the federal taxable income. Some of those states are going to tax the unemployment, but Pennsylvania and New Jersey do not tax unemployment. Pennsylvania, I mentioned, doesn't give us a lot of deductions, but one deduction Pennsylvania does give us is a 529 deduction, so a contribution to an education account, and that can be to anybody. I can make a contribution to my neighbor's kid if I want, as long as I have my neighbor's social security number for the person I'm, you know, making the contribution to. So we can get a deduction on our Pennsylvania return if we're making contributions to education accounts, and that was to encourage education savings. And, you know, I have a lot of clients who take advantage of that. If you're making a contribution to a 529 and you get a deduction on your Pennsylvania return right there, it saves you 3.07%. So right there, you're already getting a little payback on that contribution to the 529 account. There are limits on that. It's limited to the annual gift amount and or the earned income. So if you have earned income, the annual gift amount is $15,000. If you have earned income of only, $11,000, then it would be limited to 11. If I have $100,000 of income, it would be limited to 15 if I put 15 into the plan. If I only put $3,000 into the 529 and I have at least that much in income, whether it's earned income or interest or dividends or whatever, taxable income for Pennsylvania purposes, if I only put $3,000 in, I would get the deduction for $3,000. And again, it's per person, per donee. So I could make a, $15,000 gift to a 529 account for 10 people. And if I have $150,000 of income, I would get $150,000 deduction. That's how that works. New Jersey does not have a similar deduction for 529 accounts. One other deduction we do get for Pennsylvania is the health savings account, and that is true whether we're doing it through payroll deduction, where we get the tax savings up front and right away, and then we don't have anything on our tax return, meaning if we have a high deductible health insurance plan, and we have either a single or a family plan, and we're doing it through payroll deduction. Maybe our employer put something in and we put something in. If we're maxing out the eligible contribution, then we already got that deduction right on our W-2 and we don't have to do anything else with it. If, however, we look and we see your W-2 and we see that there's a code W of maybe only $1,000 and you have a family plan and you would have qualified for a $7,000 health savings account contribution, and you say, and I say, hey, you could have done $6,000 more into your health savings account. You have until April 15th of the year following the tax year to do it, and someone decides to do it. Well, if they put in $6,000, I get a deduction on my federal return, and I also get a deduction on my Pennsylvania return. Not so on New Jersey. But that deduction is nice, and it gives us a kind of a second bite of the apple to kind of get that deduction. It's always better to do it through payroll deduction. And next week, I'm talking about, because it's Labor Day coming up, I always try to do something around labor. And what I'm going to talk about next week is employer benefits and annual enrollment that'll be coming up. And if you have a health savings account, really, this is just a very, very powerful financial planning, investment, saving tool for folks to be able to set aside money pre-tax. And if used for qualified medical expenses, any growth or earnings on that money you set aside, that if you invest it, it's all going to be income tax free. And you save federal tax, state tax, local tax, Social Security tax, Medicare tax. It's just a win-win-win all over the place. Now, it is a high deductible health plan, so you do have to have some money set aside to, you know, cover those high deductibles. But especially for young people, it's really great. It's a great way to save and save income taxes, but save for your health care expenses in the future. And the health savings account can go with you. You don't have to use it all. You don't have to spend it. So there's a lot of advantages to health savings accounts. If you don't get the deduction through payroll and you still can fund it, again, that's up till April 15th of the year following the tax year, you can at least get the deduction on your federal return and PA return. What you're losing out there is the deduction for local and Social Security and Medicare tax. All right. Now, the reason New Jersey doesn't give us a deduction for it is because that's not necessarily deemed a medical expense. New Jersey gives their residents a deduction for medical expenses. So it's not how much you've put into the health savings account. It's how much you spend out of the health savings account. So they don't give you the deduction up front for New Jersey. They give you a deduction for actual medical expenses. And there's a limitation on it. It's 2% of your adjusted gross income. So some people don't have those kinds of expenses. But what some people don't realize is you really have to dive into the W-2 and the pay stub of a New Jersey resident to see what kind of health benefits are actually taxed to you, meaning not pre-tax. It's on an after-tax basis, because those medical expenses, along with whatever you might have had out of pocket, could add up and give you a nice deduction on your New Jersey return. It's worth going through the extra steps to figure it out, of course, unless you really have high income and would be way over that 2% threshold. All right, so that's talking about health care. And don't forget about the New Jersey medical expense deduction. New Jersey also gives a deduction for real estate taxes. That is capped at $10,000, and that's a nice little deduction. So when we think about New Jersey, we often think, you know, they have a bit of a higher income tax in New Jersey. But as I've mentioned, all of these exemptions that they allow and these medical deductions, it could... And the real estate tax deduction, it could help manage that income quite a bit. Just another note about the different kinds of income we have on tax returns. So remember, the federal could be different than state. We said that the majority of states piggyback off the federal. It doesn't mean that we still don't have adjustments to do on any of these state returns. So 29 states follow the Fed, and that could mean that they're reporting income for federal purposes that might not be taxed for state purposes, such as U.S. Treasury interest. So if you have treasury bonds, bills, notes, or savings bond interest, all of that is U.S. Treasury interest that is not taxable to any state. So generally, when we have to make adjustments to that federal income, we exclude the treasury income on our state tax return. Now, Pennsylvania and New Jersey, I mentioned, have they list the asset classes of income individually. So you, for Pennsylvania purposes, you would show on the schedule what is deemed to be federal treasury income not taxable for state purposes. And if you're not paying attention when you're filing your tax returns or doing your tax returns, you might miss this. So generally, what I try to do is I look at the federal interest in dividends and I look at the state interest in dividends. And if I know I have treasury holdings somehow, it could be in a mutual fund, it could be direct. If I see the exact same number on the Fed as I do on the state, then I think, oh, we forgot to make that adjustment. We have to kind of back out the treasury interest on the state returns. And that's for any state. Now, municipal income, here is where you might have tax-exempt income for federal purposes, because municipal income, for the most part, is tax-exempt for federal purposes, and it may or may not be taxable for state purposes. It depends on what state you live in. So if I bought a bunch of PA municipal bonds and I'm a resident of Pennsylvania, then that's not taxable for federal and it's not taxable for Pennsylvania. But if I have a bunch of New Jersey bonds and I am a resident of Pennsylvania, those New Jersey bonds, yes, they're not taxable for federal purposes, but they would be income taxable for PA purposes. So there's always going to be a little bit of a reconciliation between federal numbers and state numbers, no matter what way the state files, unless you're, of course, in a totally tax-exempt state, as I mentioned at the top of the show. So if you are someone who has treasury income or municipal income, there should always be some kind of reconciliation that you're doing between fed and state. These are some of the things you have to pay attention to, because we think state tax doesn't amount to much, but it really can. Folks, we are on the last 15 minutes of the show. I can't believe it's gone so fast. I'm not even going to be able to probably fit everything in that I wanted to talk about. But if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking about state and local tax considerations tonight. And if you have questions that are beyond the format of the show, you can certainly email me through yourfinancialchoices.com. All right, let me see if I can speed up the talking about local earned income tax so that I can get to Pennsylvania inheritance tax and New Jersey inheritance tax, because I think those are important to talk about, because we don't really think about those until we die. Local tax is earned income. So Pennsylvania has more local tax jurisdictions than all other states combined. It's incredible. The local earned income tax is just that. It's tax on earned income, earned. So you work to earn it. They do follow the state income rules for Pennsylvania. So this is really a Pennsylvania thing. And if there's an early distribution from a retirement plan in excess of your basis, in excess of what you put into it, that could be taxable as well. Pennsylvania counts that as compensation. Incredible to me. I don't know how they get away with that, but it's true. And they, on the local earned income tax returns, if you work like in another state or in Philadelphia, you can get a credit for taxes paid to those other jurisdictions, and that helps offset the local tax that you otherwise would owe. You don't get a credit to the point of getting a refund. It's just going to offset. If you paid a tax to Philadelphia and you didn't pay it to, you know, Upper McCungee Township, and you're an Upper McCungee Township resident, you'd get the credit up to the amount of the Upper McCungee tax. So that's how that would work. There was something else I wanted to mention about Pennsylvania local earned income tax. I can't remember off the top of my head. Oh, I know what I wanted to say for New Jersey. So for people who work in New Jersey, you may not be aware of this. I mean, who live in New Jersey but work in Pennsylvania. If you live in New Jersey and you work in a Pennsylvania jurisdiction that has a local earned income tax, your employer is required to withhold that local earned income tax for where the facility is where you're working. So let's pretend you work in a 1% local jurisdiction, but you're a New Jersey resident. you can get a credit on your New Jersey return for taxes paid to another jurisdiction. And I don't know how many people are aware of that or pay attention to that. All right. So those are some of the highlights of state and local taxes. Pennsylvania inheritance tax. Let me kind of go over this quickly. Pennsylvania inheritance tax applies to residents of Pennsylvania. Quite often I get questions from people who, live in another area they live here and their parent, let's say, lives in New York. And they say, hey, I'm inheriting from my mom who died in New York. Do I have to pay Pennsylvania inheritance tax on this inheritance? No, the inheritance tax applies to residents of Pennsylvania or non-residents who have a situs here in real estate or a business or something like that. Typically, it might be like a vacation home. So I might not be a resident of Pennsylvania, but if I own property in Pennsylvania, then it would be subject to inheritance tax. And the inheritance tax, includes assets that we control when we die. So I control maybe an IRA, a bank account, all of this. If I own a joint with a spouse, then I don't have to report that if it's joint with the spouse for the decedent's inheritance tax return. But if they own things, separately or alone or an IRA, things they controlled, that gets reported. If it passes to a spouse, it's at 0%. If it passes to a child or a parent, lineal, up and down, it's 4.5%. If my heirs are my siblings, the tax rate on the assets passing to my siblings is 12%, and any others are 15%. Charity is zero. So you have to understand the class of the beneficiary who's receiving the assets, and it could be a number of them. So we could have some going to a spouse at zero, and some going to a charity at zero, and some going to my child at 4.5%. So that inheritance tax return gets filed when someone passes away. You report all the assets that aren't otherwise joint with the spouse and that you had control over, and there's certain schedules and all of that. And there might be deductions you could take against that, funeral, administrative, maybe executor fees, that type of thing. Debts could be some deductions on the return, and then you factor in, how the inheritance tax gets applied, and then you pay the inheritance tax. If you, it's due 9 months after date of death. If you pay on account of the inheritance tax at 3 months after death, and it can be an estimate, it doesn't mean you have to file the return at that point. You can make an estimate of what you think the taxes are. You would get a 5% discount. That's a 5% discount for paying 6 months early. So that's the equivalent of like a 10% return. Definitely something you need to have, on your radar if you are someone who is maybe the executor of an estate, because it's your fiduciary responsibility to act in the best interest of those heirs. And if you could earn a 5% discount by paying early, you really want to make sure that you take advantage of that. So Pennsylvania inheritance tax, that's kind of in a nutshell, a very tight nutshell. Then one last thing on that is, for example, I mentioned you have to report all the assets that you have control over. If the decedent was under age 59 and a half and would have been subject to a 10% penalty for early withdrawal from a retirement account, then those retirement accounts are not taxable. And something else that people don't realize, the 529 accounts that maybe you might have been the owner of and, goes on to, a grandchild or something, those also are not subject to Pennsylvania inheritance tax. Now, Pennsylvania does look 1 year back, so they're going to look back to see if you've made any transfers within the past year. There's a little bit of an exemption of $3,000 that you can apply, but otherwise, if it's outside that 1 year and you've gifted, prior to 1 year, it's not brought back in. All right. For the most part, this is kind of generalities tonight, but I want to give people kind of some things to think about that we don't think about at a state level, because we're always kind of thinking about federal. And speaking of federal, so the federal estate tax exemption is like 11,800,000 in 2020. So for most people, it's not going to apply. But at the Pennsylvania level, for most of us, it will apply. So that's why I think it's important to talk about it. For New Jersey, New Jersey used to have an estate tax, and that would have applied even if assets were going to, you know, family members. In New Jersey, we think, oh, if it's going to, you know, parents, children, that type of thing, it's exempt: spouse, civil union partner, domestic partner, child, grandchild, parents, mutually acknowledged child, stepchild, those except not a step-grandchild or their issue. So those are exempt from inheritance tax. So back in the day, if you still were over certain dollar amounts, there still might have been an estate tax that we had to plan for. That has gone. So that was abolished or whatever for January 1st, 2018. But there is still a New Jersey inheritance tax. So when we're talking about passing assets to family members in New Jersey, is very different than what we said in Pennsylvania. Because recall, I said in Pennsylvania, it was zero to a spouse, 4.5 to, you know, lineal, and 12% to siblings, 15% to other people. In New Jersey, I already had mentioned spouse, child, that's at zero. Grandchild, zero. Parents, zero. They're exempt. There's still some forms you have to file, but it's exempt. Those are Class A beneficiaries. Class B beneficiaries, that was eliminated a long time ago. Class C beneficiaries, brother or sister of a decedent, spouse or surviving spouse of a child of a decedent, a civil union partner or surviving civil union partner of a child of a decedent. There are different rates. So there's a rate for each beneficiary. And on the first $25,000, there's no tax. The next $1,075,000 is 11%. The next $300,000 is 13%. The next $300,000 is 14%. And over $1,007,000 is 16%. So those rates go up really high, really fast. So that's why it's important to know and understand some of these state laws that might apply when you're looking at your own planning. Class D is every other transferee, distributee, or beneficiary not classified as A, C, or E. E is exempt from tax. That would be charities, religious institutions, educational and medical institutions, nonprofits, or scientific institutions in the state of New Jersey. So Class D would be every other transferee. So that could be a cousin. And that rate for each beneficiary is 15% on the first $700,000 and 16% on over $700,000. So PA inheritance tax, New Jersey inheritance tax, still alive and well, and something that we have to have on our radar. I encourage everyone to do estate planning. And if you have not done it at all, please pay attention, because these numbers might matter. And there could be some lifetime gifting that you could do and take advantage of, or, you know, reconfigure some of your beneficiaries if, you know, you weren't sure what you were going to do or how it might apply. Maybe you thought, oh, I'm going to, you know, I don't know, I can't think of something right off the top of my head. But anyway, all for your information to pay attention. Now, just with my last minute or so left, I will quickly talk about business privilege tax, or a mercantile tax. That is something that, again, applies at the local level. And it is basically or typically on gross receipts. So it doesn't matter if you had a loss on your business return or on your rental properties. You might think, oh, I don't have to pay any business tax. What are you talking about? Well, it's on gross receipts, and it's a very small amount typically, but it doesn't apply to every locality. It depends. You have to look it up. So I'm not going to, you know, talk about all of that tonight, but if you have a business or you have residential rental properties in whatever jurisdiction, because even if you live in a jurisdiction that doesn't have it and you have your rental property or your business in a jurisdiction that does apply it, then you're going to be subject to it. So you want to make sure you're checking out when you have a business or rental properties that you're running, that you know if you have requirements under the business privilege tax or mercantile tax. And typically that is through those local tax collectors like Berkheimer or Keystone, and you can Google, typically search for your township where your business is or where you live or where your residential rental properties might be, if it's going to apply to you. And typically there is a license fee that goes along with that as well. So you want to make sure you're taking care of your license fee and business privilege tax on gross receipts. One other thing I wanted to quickly mention, Pennsylvania also has special tax forgiveness if you're under certain income levels, and it depends on how many children you might have. So you want to make sure that if you think you might qualify for that, certainly check out the Schedule SP, the PA 40 SP for special tax forgiveness if your income is below a certain threshold, if you're, you know, unmarried, separated, you know, even deceased, if you have children, married people, if you fall under those limits, you may qualify for special tax forgiveness. All right, that was a mouthful for this hour on August 26th. Next week, we are going to talk about labor, what you need to know about employment benefits, open enrollment, and retirement planning. So we will go back to maybe using some of the tools we've learned about for financial planning from our tax return. So we'll use some of those tools we've learned in the past few weeks and how the difference can happen on our tax returns. Lori, thank you for being here. Shandi, thank you for being here. Thank you, listeners. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.